How great is our God? And that was what we were singing, folks, today on how great is our God. Our God is so great, it's unimaginable. We cannot measure how great and the greatness of God because height, width, depth, I mean, it is amazing what our God is. And I've always said it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, doesn't matter what the circumstance is, it should never change your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there'll be things that we will face in life, some things that we will deal, the uncertainty of what's going on, but hey, guess what? This world might be out of control, but God is what? He is in control. So He knows exactly what you and I are going through, and He knows what this world's going through. So there's no surprise to God. A lot of us will scratch our heads and says, can you believe that happened? Can you believe this is going on? Can you believe that? Listen, there's no surprise to God because God knows exactly what's going on. He knows what He's doing. And guess what? I just want to be in the Father's will, and I want to be in the palm of His hands because that's what He says. He says that we are in the palm of His hands, and He's going to take care of us, and He's going to be there for us. Why? Because He's Daddy. He's Abba Father. He loves us, and He knows exactly. See, He loves His children. And so with that, if you've got children, you know how you love your kids. You love them. Your kids love you. It's that kind of relationship that you have. And so that's a good thing. And I thank God today that you are here today. Thank God that those that are watching today, my prayers are something I can say to you to encourage you along the way as we get into God's Word today. So if you would go with me into the New Testament of 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. Guess what, folks? We're at the very end of my series, Unshaken Faith in the Final Days. This is the 8th sermon. So if you've missed it, get on our website at www.vfclexton.org and check it out. This is going to be Sermon 8 and all the other sermons that are there. If you want to hear it, see it in video, you want to hear it in audio, it'll be on Spotify, it'll be on Apple Podcasts. We're on all the links, and thank God that we are able to get the Word out. Sermon number 8, and the title of my message today is this: The Best is Coming. The Best is Coming. Jesus, as we have been talking about in the final, in this unshaken faith in the final days, we know that He's coming back, and the best is yet to come, folks. And man, it's amazing because we've got God's Word here today to give us some encouragement and to let us know the best is coming. 1 Peter 5 and 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, meaning a little while, establish, strengthen, and settle you, verse 11, to Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let me read that again. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you, to Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Can I hear an amen to God's Word? Listen, I want you to know that the Bible is letting us know that yes, we're going to suffer a little bit while we're alive on this earth, but it will not compare for the suffering as we suffer in this world to the glory that you and I will receive in heaven one day, and so therefore we must strengthen and encourage one another, and let it settle down in your heart, your mind, your soul, your well-being, to know that God the Father has already established His Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross over 2,000 years ago, that you and I will be celebrating here soon of Easter Sunday, and we'll be seeing Palm Sunday, the days before crucifixion. Through all of that, God has prepared for you and I that we may see the glory of the Lord, and the best is yet to come. Let's look at this. First, we see this clearly. It is the book of the triumph in trials, as Peter says. The beginnings, and it begins with blessed promises that God is promising you and I. God's not lying to you. God's telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Why, Pastor? Because He is the truth. And so He lets us know that His glory one day will split the eastern skies. Who is the glory? The glory is the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I will experience one day. Yet it ends in speaking of trials, but yet it's the ultimate victory that you and I will have. Facing the reality of sufferings in life, yes, we will suffer. Yes, we will deal with aches and pains, and we'll deal with a heartache, and we will deal with disappointments. We will deal with all of that. You say, well, Pastor, is that normal? Yes, that's normal, because that's life. We're human. We're getting older. We can't stay young all the time. I wish I could stay 25 all the time, but I can't. We're all getting older. Why? And then as we get older, things begin to, we have to check out everything. That's why we have exams. And have an examination. We're checking, we're making sure our plumbing in our bodies is working good. We're making sure everything's happening. But guess what? While we're here, it is still a win-win situation when we're in Christ Jesus. If we've accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts and life, it's a win-win situation. We may live down here, we may enjoy life and may have things down here, but guess what? When we do leave this life, it's going to be wonderful, because God has already got a place prepared for you and I. And so we can look and have the look beyond, even into glory. My first point today is this: there is suffering now. There is suffering now. We're going to go through some things. You may be already going through things. You may, well, Pastor, how much more can I take? I am dealing with this. I'm dealing with that. How much more? Well, let me encourage you today. The Bible clearly lets us know that God will put no more on you than you can bear. So if you're dealing with something right now and you don't know how much that you can handle, just understand God knows what He's doing through your sufferings, through your trials, through the things that you're going through, that He will not put no more on you, but He would make a way of an escape. What does the word escape mean? It means to get out of here. It means to move out of here, so that God will allow these things to come, but He will not put no more on us than we can handle. He knows exactly how much you can handle. He knows exactly how much I can handle. You know, and so therefore we need to understand. Yet there is suffering now, and the question would be, who can deny it? We can't deny it. We know things do come our way. Suffering because we are part of the fallen race. You say, Pastor, why do we suffer? Well, because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. You know, because of the fall of man, we go right behind Adam and Eve and we deal with issues in life. You may say, well, man, if Eve had not taken that forbidden fruit, well, yeah, that's true. If she had not taken that forbidden fruit, we wouldn't be going through this today. But unfortunately, not only did she take the forbidden fruit, but Adam actually bit it and Eve bit it. And of course, you know, as the story goes on, Eve told God, well, Adam said this, and then Adam says, but no, but Eve said this, and then Eve said, no, but the serpent. And so now it becomes the blame game, and so that's where we're at now because of disobedience. So we deal with suffering now. Listen, how wonderful before the fall. There was no sickness. There was no sorrow. There was no death. Suffering became of the attack of the adversary, which we know that it's Satan himself, as we know the Bible says, roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we see this in 1 Peter 5 and 8. Let's look at this. Be sober, Peter says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, who is your adversary? The devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings, there's the word, the sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We're going to go through some things. We're going to deal with some things. But the Bible clearly says the devil's walking about like roaring lion. What is a lion? A lion roars. You know why he roars? Because he's warning his predator. He's warning that he's about to attack. That's why a lion begins to roar. When you hear the king of the jungle and you hear the lion, all animals begin to listen very closely because they know that there is, the king is in the house. The king is there. So we need to understand that the enemy is roaring, trying to do what? He's trying to deceive. He's trying to bring deception. He's trying to bring discouragement. He's trying to bring depression, oppression. Folks, these are darts that the enemy shoots out at us. If he can get you not to believe in Jesus Christ, if he can get you not to read the Bible, if he can get you not to pray, if he can get you not to concentrate on the Lord, if he can do that, then that's him roaring. That's him attacking. So we have to be sober. And we have to be vigilant. To be sober is to be awake. There is to be awareness. Vigilant is for us to be eager to begin to move out, to maneuver, to begin to take place with a lot of things that's going on. I'm reminded of the war that's going on in Iran. And so as we deal with that and as we go through that, Israel's command officer says we need to attack now. And so our American guys are kind of backing off a little bit. And they said, but now is the time. We've got to do it now. So in other words, Israel began to attack when Iran commanders was not ready and not prepared, and took them completely out. Why, Pastor? Because there was a surprise attack. And I want you to know today that the enemy also does surprise attacks. He will try to attack you, the enemy, Satan himself, will try to attack you in any way that he possibly can. And just when you think he's not going to try to attack, guess what? That's when he tries to attack. And so why the Bible says for us to be sober, one. Second, we need to be vigilant so that we would be prepared and ready when the enemy tries to attack us. Listen, persecution of believers through the centuries has taken place. Yet the grief over wayward loved ones, and yet the question would be, what is your present area of suffering? What is your present area of suffering? God's grace will be sufficient for you and I as we continue to trust Him. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, the Apostle Paul, he writes and says, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You may say, well, Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying here in this passage is the Apostle Paul says, I need you to take this thorn out of my flesh. There was something that kept gouging Paul that he really struggled with and he dealt with. And he was praying, take this away from me, God, whatever it may be. We don't know exactly what it is. Scholars don't know exactly what it was, but it was like a thorn in his flesh. It was just really working him over. And God replied to Paul when Paul was praying. And Paul said that God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. He didn't take it away. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. In your weakness, Paul, in what you're dealing with, I'm not going to take it away from you, but I'm going to give you strength because the perfect that I am, and it's going to be perfect in your weakness, I'm going to make you strong. If he had taken it away from Paul, he wouldn't have needed to call on God. If he had taken it away from Paul, Paul would have never reached out to him. But as he began to continue to reach out to him to say, this thing is really bothering me, God replies, says, in your weakness it is made perfect because my strength will strengthen you. Therefore, most gladly, Paul says, God, if that's what you want me to do, and that's what is wanting, that's what's happening here, then he says, I will be glad to boast in my infirmities. I will boast in my weakness because the power of Christ may rest upon me. The power of Christ is your answer that will rest upon you in your weakness, because in your weakness, Jesus Christ is made perfect for you and I. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. I would rather be in my weakness and dealing with issues than for me to act like that I've got everything together, I've got the tiger by the tail, and everything is doing great, hunky-dory, and the whole nine yards. But no, we need Jesus Christ in our hearts and life. We need the healer. We need the deliverer. We need Him in our sufferings. And we need to realize we can't do anything without Him. Second point today, there will be glory later. There's not glory now. And you may say, well, Pastor, why is it not glory now? Well, we're suffering. You're suffering right now. You're dealing with things. I'm dealing with things. Everybody's dealing with things. Physically, spiritually, financially, emotionally, mentally, you've heard me say this. These are the things that you and I deal with on a daily basis. But the Bible says, after you have suffered a while, after you have suffered for a while, things that you've gone through, there is a time limit on all of your suffering. Hear me today. There is a time limit on all your suffering. You're not going to be suffering forever. Hear me today. You will not suffer forever. There is a time limit on your suffering. 1 Peter 1 and 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. It's not forever. Look at this. For a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Only for a little while. Notice the word does not say forever. God's word doesn't say forever. For a little while. Peter saw God's glory as we see this at Transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17. Now, I'm not going to go into it. But Peter literally saw the transfiguration going on with Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 17. Listen, the Bible also lets us know that there's promises of heaven. Why? Let me remind you again. Because He goes to prepare a place for you and I. If He did not go and prepare a place for us, then there's no need for us to do what we're doing today. There's no need to be in church. There's no need to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no need to do that. But He has prepared a place for us. Let's look at this. John 14 and 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, this is Jesus, this is Red Letter Edition, this is Him speaking. If it were not so, I would have told you. If it wasn't true, I'd tell you guys, I'd let you know. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. To depart and be with Christ is far better than all the suffering today, folks. Let me let you know. It is far greater than all of the suffering that you and I are going to deal with here in this life. It is far greater. Because through the sufferings, you're going to be rewarded. You and I are going to be rewarded throughout the sufferings that we have been dealing with. Only it is far greater. Philippians 1 and 23. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, Paul was trying to make a decision. He didn't know whether he wanted to die now or stay. And so he was in a decision having to make, is it better for me to stay here? Is it better for me to go? For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart. I want to get to heaven. I want to be at heaven and be with Christ, which is far better. He had to make that decision. Listen, the presence with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, the Apostle Paul says this, we are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We are confident. In other words, we are assured. We are reassured every day of our lives that when we leave this life, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In other words, the Lord has the say-so over your body, over your life. Understand, it is not the devil's. It is God's. The Bible says all souls are mine. God says all souls are mine. They're not the devil's. God makes the final decision. God will be the final judge for us in our destination. So to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We will see Him and we will see the Lord, and the righteous judge, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, will make that call on that day for you and I. in our life. He will make the decision. Understand, the devil's limited, folks, at what he can do. He can't be everywhere at the same time. He doesn't know a lot of things that's going on. God is his boss. Remind yourself, God is his boss. God's in charge. He's in control. The enemy may be the prince of this air, of this world. He might be mighty, but guess what? God is almighty. He's in control. God's in control. And he has the last say-so. Listen, our future is bright with the promises of God. Our future is bright with the promises of God. Third, in our suffering, God is preparing us for glory. Now, I want you to see this today. In our suffering, God is preparing us for glory. And God's going to reveal himself unto us one day face to face. God is preparing us for the glory through suffering. He is perfecting, maturing us every day. He is establishing us, meaning building our faith every day. He is strengthening us every day through our sufferings. He is placing us on a firm foundation through our sufferings every day. We are partakers of Christ and his sufferings. Here's what the scripture says. 1 Peter 4 and 13. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ and his sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Through Christ and his sufferings, as you suffer, as Christ has already suffered, you and I, then his glory is going to be revealed unto you and I because of the suffering. We may suffer for a little while, but joy comes in the morning. Victory is ours. Victory is mine. Victory comes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, which is revealed unto us and the glory of the Lord. Yet we shall then share also his glory. The suffering is to make us like Jesus. Our sufferings, Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he has foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And we know. But Pastor, you just don't understand. Listen, we still know. All things work together. All things work together for good for those who love God. And to those who are called according to his purpose. All things. Sometimes I don't understand. You can pull your hair out and go, I just don't get it. All things. God says all things work together. Because if you love God, and you even have that personal relationship with God, meaning you have now fully surrendered under his authority, you fully surrender under his lordship, then guess what? It is no longer you making decisions. It's no longer you that's doing this and doing that and being this and being that. But now you've relinquished everything, and now you have in return give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't handle this. It is not for me to handle. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving my family. I'm giving my finances. I'm giving giving everything that I am, that I have, or hope to be. Lord, take charge. Then that's when the Scripture says, all things work. All things work together. Why? Because you're fully surrendered. You're loving the Lord. You're doing what the Lord has asked you to do. All things work together. Oh, but I just, and it's amazing. People have come to me and say, Pastor, you won't believe what God has done in my life. I surrendered it under Him, to Him, and it is just, I'm just amazed. And that's what we do. We stand amazed at what God does in our hearts and life. Why? Because we do what we are to do is to love the Lord God. Listen, we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Suffering with Him is reigning with Him. So think about it. When we suffer in this life, just think, boy, praise be to the Lamb of God. I'm going to reign with Him. I am suffering now, but I'm going to reign with Him. Through my suffering, I'm going to deal with some things, but through the suffering, I am going to reign with Him. Listen, groaning now is glory later. We stand suffering. The glory ahead is beyond our own understanding and comprehension. We can't even begin. Eyes have not seen, you've heard me say, ears have not heard, nor has it entered the heart of man what God has in purpose for you and me. Listen, in my closing today, the glory ahead is beyond our understanding. All earthly gain and glory is temporary. All earthly gain and glory is temporary. Yes, God wants us to marry, replenish, have children. Yes, all of that. But understand, there's more to life than just being married. It's more than just having children. It's more than having grandchildren and great-grands. One day I'd like to have grands. I'm at that age now, I'd like to have grands. But life, it's much more than that. Because it's only temporary. But His glory and dominion last forever. His glory and dominion last forever. The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away. One day there'll be a new earth, new heaven, it'll pass away. But my word will never pass away. Because His word is who He is. Everything is described about Him. Yet His glory and dominion last forever. 1 Peter 5 and 11. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. To Him be the glory and the dominion. The glory and dominion forever and ever. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is coming back. Is coming back. And He will be the King of the world. And we will see it as it is. Stand with me across the building today.